Good evening, everyone. To open our meeting tonight, Chardell, can you please announce the first hymn?
Hymn 175. Lo, he sent his word and healed them. Still that word of God is here. Still his tender healing message speaks to every listening ear. Truth divine that overcometh all the ills that seem to be. In our hearts, thy word abiding, we may know thee and be free. Hymn 175.
If you would like to read along with the readings tonight, please go to our website, plainfieldcs.com, and under the Weekly Lessons tab, you'll find the link to the Wednesday testimony meeting, and there you'll find the text for the readings. And the theme tonight is, Divine Truth is the Ultimate Freedom. Readings will now be given by Gary from New Jersey.
I will read from the Bible. Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And behold, There was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound lo these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. John. Then Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and from Prose Works, both by Mary Baker Eddy. Truth brings the elements of liberty. On its banner is the soul-inspired motto, "Slavery is abolished." The power of God brings deliverance to the captive. No power can withstand divine love. What is this supposed power which opposes itself to God? Whence cometh it? What is it that binds man with iron shackles to sin, sickness, and death? Whatever enslaves man is opposed to the divine government. Truth makes man free. Christian Science and the senses are at war. It is a revolutionary struggle. We already have had two in this nation, and they began and ended in a contest for the true idea, for human liberty and rights. Now cometh a third struggle, for the freedom of health, holiness, and the attainment of heaven. The scientific sense of being which establishes harmony enters into no compromise with finiteness and feebleness. It undermines the foundations of mortality, of physical law, breaks their chains, and sets the captive free, opening the doors for them that are bound. The likeness of God we lose sight of through sin, which beclouds the spiritual sense of truth. And we realize this likeness only when we subdue sin and prove man's heritage, the liberty of the sons of God. Discerning the God-given rights of man, Paul said, "I was free born." Justice and truth make man free. Injustice and error enslave him. Mental science alone grasps the standard of liberty and battles for man's whole rights, divine as well as human. It assures us of a verity that mortal beliefs and not a law of nature have made men sinning and sick, that they alone have fettered free limbs and marred in mind the model of man. Above the platform of human rights, let us build another staging for diviner claims, even the supremacy of soul over sense, wherein man cooperates with and is made subject to his Maker. the learned quacks of this period bind heavy burdens that they themselves will not touch with one of their fingers. Scientific guessing conspires unwittingly against the liberty and lives of men. Should we but hearken to the higher law of God, we should think for one moment of these divine statutes of God. Let them have dominion over all the earth. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The only law of sickness or death is a law of mortal belief, an infringement on the merciful and just government of God. When this great fact is understood, the spurious, imaginary laws of matter, when matter is not a lawgiver, will be disputed and trampled under the feet of truth. Deal then with this fabulous law as with an inhuman state law. Repeal it in mind, and acknowledge only God in all thy ways, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Few there be who know what a power mind is to heal when imbued with the spiritual truth that lifts man above the demands of matter. Sunday services on July 4th. The day we celebrate reminds us of the heroes and heroines who counted not their own lives dear to them when they sought the New England shores, not as the flying, nor as conquerors, but steadfast in faith and love to build upon the rock of Christ, the true idea of God, the supremacy of spirit and the nothingness of matter. When first the pilgrims planted their feet on Plymouth Rock, frozen ritual and creed should forever have melted away in the fire of love which came down from heaven. The pilgrims came to establish a nation in true freedom, in the rights of conscience. But what of ourselves and our times and obligations? Are we duly aware of our own great opportunities and responsibilities? Are we prepared to meet and improve them? To act up to the acme of divine energy wherewith we are armored? Never was there a more solemn and imperious call than God makes to us all, right here, for the fervent devotion and an absolute consecration to the greatest and holiest of all causes. The hour is come. The great battle of Armageddon is upon us. The powers of evil are leagued together in secret conspiracy against the Lord and against his Christ, as expressed and operative in Christian Science. Large numbers, in desperate malice, are engaged day and night in organizing action against us. Their feeling and purpose are deadly, and they have sworn enmity against the lives of our standard bearers. What will you do about it? Will you be equally in earnest for the truth? Will you doff your Lavender Kid zeal and become real and consecrated warriors? Will you give yourselves wholly and irrevocably to the great work of establishing the truth, the gospel, and the science which are necessary to the salvation of the world from error, sin, disease, and death? Answer at once and practically, and answer aright.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer, and then follow by repeating together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Okay, Carol, can you please announce the next hymn?
Hymn number 327. The God who made both heaven and earth and all that they contain will never quit his steadfast truth nor make his promise vain. Hymn number 327.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, located in Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. This is our Wednesday evening testimony meeting for Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. Welcome, one and all. At every one of our services, we read from the Bible and from the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. All of our services go out, broadcast to quite a large number of people in many different states. Many other countries are listening right now and live streaming over the internet through our YouTube channel. And we also offer a teleconference feature where you can call in on your phone and listen. Join us every Sunday. We start here at 10 o'clock in the morning with our roundtable discussion and follow that at 11 o'clock with our church service. And we also have a Sunday school for children, and it goes out by its own teleconference number, so your child can attend Sunday school regardless of where you live. So please call the church. We'll give you the phone number for the Sunday school, and we'd love to give your child a warm welcome there. I'd also like to mention that if you miss any of our services or roundtable, you can listen to recordings. A great place to go is our YouTube channel, and the link for that is on the front page of our website. Referring to our website, I'd like to point out an article that we're featuring on the front page. If you're ever concerned about what benefit you can get by going through difficult times or trials, or there's an article by Lillian McAdow, and it's entitled Tribulation, and it answers that question very well. I would encourage everyone to read it. It's very good. Okay, I will now read from the Church Manual by Mary Baker Eddy, the section entitled Testimonials. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, St. Paul. Testimony in regard to the healing of the sick is highly important. More than a mere rehearsal of blessings, it scales the pinnacle of praise and illustrates the demonstration of Christ, who healeth all thy diseases. This testimony, however, shall not include a description of symptoms or of suffering, though the generic name of the disease may be indicated. For everyone that gives a testimony tonight, please keep it within 4 minutes so that everyone will have a chance to share their offering. And for those of you who are on the teleconference, please keep in mind that when you press **, we will be able to hear you here and anything else that finds its way to your telephone. So make sure you're in a quiet place. And now I'd like to open the meeting to the sharing of testimonies of healing through Christian Science. Jeremy.
For a time before being brought to Plainfield, I'd felt that I didn't believe in God. There were a few things, however, that kept me from going fully down the path to atheism. One thing was that I couldn't look at my kids and think they were the culmination of billions of years of accidents. Another reason, oddly enough, came from recording myself improvising on the guitar. In the course of doing that, I would play it back and realize I didn't always know how to recreate what I did. I wondered about that for a while and eventually saw that this was proof that there was more to the story than what was going on in my own mind. Because of this, I became certain there was a God, but was sure calling him God at the time wouldn't work. he was obviously different from what I was raised to believe in. Because of this, I started calling him my North Star. It's evident now that this change in thought was the beginning of my being receptive to what is taught at this church. It was still a few years beforehand, but it was a huge difference. When I finally did come to this church, I saw that the teachings of Christian Science were what I had been searching for. Recently, I've been blessed with the opportunity to rent a home that would allow me to better do the work for this church and also be able to host Bible studies and such. My practitioner said she was considering naming it the North Star. I told her this story and we rejoiced together, knowing it was the perfect name. Yet again, God had proven how he was there for me at every stage of my life and continues to be. I'm so grateful for all I am learning at this church and how Christian Science and practitioner support have helped me to find my purpose and usefulness. It is wonderful how loving and merciful God is. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda.
Thank you for the healing readings tonight and the music played with such love. I am grateful for all that is offered here at Plainfield that is helping me think independently with God. This is replacing habits of people-pleasing, constant deferring to others for their opinions and expert advice, and they're influencing me definitely without God involved. Recently, I needed to dispose of some recalled dehumidifiers that had Freon, so this made it a little complicated, costly, and it seemed a little bit unfair because it wasn't due to our mishap. It was the company that did not make the quality equipment. And we had tried a few places and we're getting a lot of quotes and it seemed very difficult. I am learning here now that God cares for the details of our lives. And I knew I could trust that there had to be a just answer despite all that I was hearing and seeing. So I turned to God quietly. An angel idea came to me to go back to our county website, and I clicked on an obscure part of it and actually found a very easy and inexpensive way to dispose of these equipment. The lesson for me in it was really stopping, being quiet, listening to God, and turning out all the voices that I was hearing and let God tell me what I needed to know. And I was very grateful. It was really nice to have a cheaper alternative, but a better lesson involved. Thank you for everything tonight.
Thank you. Luann from New York, go ahead.
Thank you. When I first came into Christian Science, my practitioner told me that the past I was suffering so greatly from was the Adam dream, an illusion. At first I was angry, and I thought she didn't understand. How could it not be real? How can God have no knowledge of sin, disease, and death, and still be our ever-present help in times of trouble? I have learned through the study and practice of Christian Science that God is mind. God is my mind. God is the only pure and perfect mind. To me, this means a state of conscious being far above the misconceptions and unreality of the material senses. Understanding this has helped me to see that God, good, truly is ever-present and always has been the source of my salvation. When I was a child, I lived in a very dysfunctional household. One night, in total fear for my life, I climbed out my window and hid under a tree. As I sat there crying and praying to God to put an end to this, I felt a warm breeze pass over me, like someone had just gently blown in my ear. I stopped crying and listened intently. Off in the distance, I could hear the calling of a whippoorwill bidding me peace, be still. I could hear the leaves of the trees clapping and the gentle rustle of the grass, as if God had waved his hand over the whole scene and just erased the entire picture that had filled my thoughts with fear. There was no angry yelling or fighting, no threat or fear. I sat there all night, blanketed by stars, under his wing, hid in Christ. I had to learn that God is my Father, Mother. He always has been and always will be, and his love has always been with me, keeping me safe even during the most trying times. I had to also learn to love and to forgive my earthly parents and to give all the past to God. I'm so grateful to God for his love. I'm grateful for Mary Baker Eddy and my practitioner for helping me to seek God and find him in every aspect of my life. I'm grateful for all the lessons I've been taught, which helped me to see every experience with pure eyes. I'm so grateful for Christian Science and for those who teach it. Thank you.
Thank you. Dale from Virginia, go ahead.
Thank you so much for those wonderful readings on freedom. How fortunate we are to live in a country where we enjoy the freedoms our founding fathers fought for. And because they did, Mary Baker Eddy was free to introduce divine science, Christian Science, to the world, and thereby enable all who will to embrace it and know ultimate freedom. The other day, I was forwarded a happy 4th of July message. It goes like this. Shortly after the delegates had agreed to the words of the Declaration, John Adams penned a letter to his wife, Abigail, predicting that Independence Day, quote, will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore. End quote. I was very grateful to receive this and to note the first duty John Adams said should be done in commemorating Independence Day. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. I'm very grateful that putting God first is the standard in this church, to serve him and to love our fellow man. Thank you for the other testimonies and for the lovely music tonight.
Thank you. Fairly from Maryland, go ahead.
Thank you. At this time of celebrating our country on the 4th of July, I find myself overwhelmingly grateful for Christian Science given to us by Mary Baker Eddy here in America, the land of the free, the only place where it could ever have come, who gave us this wonderful understanding of how real life in God, about our real life in God, as explained in her textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And I'm very grateful for the readings tonight, that divine truth is the ultimate freedom. I'm also deeply grateful to God for leading me to the Plainfield Christian Science Church, where I have learned from the constant teaching that goes on here to practice Christian Science correctly and gradually progress in understanding more and practicing this science. Each Bible study and roundtable and the forum and our magazine, Love is the Liberator, have added a point here, another point there, and have led me on. And I pray for all those who have not yet found this truth, that they too may come. Thank you very much for the readings on the divine truth is indeed the ultimate freedom.
Thank you. Chardell.
Good evening, and thank you for this service tonight with the readings on divine truth as our ultimate freedom, the music, and the holy atmosphere. Last weekend, after reading the lesson sermon on God, thinking about leaning on the sustaining infinite, and thinking about something Edward Kimball wrote saying, quote, "Man is forever enfolded within the perfect consciousness of good. He cannot get away for an instant from the protecting, loving, all-inspiring, all-sustaining, all-seeing, all-controlling purity of love," end quote. As I was going down our cellar steps, I slipped on some tools that had been left there. Instead of falling the rest of the way, I simply found myself sitting on a step. I was very surprised because I saw the cement floor looming as my leg went out from under me. Immediately, I was saying a grateful prayer of thanks. I was shaken and a little sore, so I emailed my practitioner, who assured me that God's love was surrounding me and that I couldn't fall out of his care. Also, angels bear you up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. I was able to move around from the beginning, and when a little discomfort tried to return to my thought, I would think of the words that she had said to me. I am very grateful to God, who is all our being, and I am grateful for Christ Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and my practitioner who loves and understands Christian Science. Thank you.
Thank you. Dede from Georgia, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm thankful for today's calendar quote, which reads, "Without humility, there is no ability." To me, this is what I found in the understanding that it's not my own ability, but the power, wisdom, strength, etc., that God gives, which allows me to do all things. In learning to be truly humble in Christian Science, I'm learning that it's most important to ask God for guidance in all that I have to do, knowing that I can do nothing well without him, to listen and obey, not thinking that I know better than him, and then to thank him for doing it all once complete. This has been a life-changing practice, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to continue in this way to see the harmonious results that it brings. Thank you so much for all that's going on in this church. I'm so grateful for all that I'm learning. Thank you for tonight's meeting, for the readings, and for all of the testimony so far. I'm grateful to be here tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Bruce, and on our website we have this article also, the Mrs. Eddy's extempore remarks on the Sunday services of July 4th, and there's also an audio that was read by Mrs. Singletary, and we heard it again tonight, and every time I look through this thing, I just get on my knees and thank God for this church here in Plainfield. Because in this article, it talks about the heroes and heroines who did not count their own lives dear to them, and went on to describe them, that they were faithful, steadfast in faith and love, and that they built upon the rock of Christ. And that's what I found here in Plainfield when I first got found this church, and even now, still, thank God. But it was a steadfast in faith and love, and building upon the rock of Christ and the true idea of Christian Science that gave me a sense of freedom. Because at the time that God led me to this church, I needed quite a bit of help and release from many problems, and found it here in Plainfield with the dear people that helped, practitioner help. They were indeed steadfast in faith and love, steadfast to the true idea of Christian Science. And it, for me, it was very liberating. So I'm just thanking God for all that I found here in Plainfield. Luba from Ohio. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'm so grateful for the changes that have occurred in my life through a clear understanding of Christian Science. This has happened since coming to Plainfield and working with my practitioner. I have seen God at work in every part of my life. It has brought me closer to God, who alone governs my life. I realize I dwell in the kingdom of God. Thank you for tonight's readings, and I'm so grateful for being here this evening.
Thank you. Carol.
I am so grateful for Christian Science and for the way it's practiced here in this church. Ever since I was a child, on the 4th of July, I would start getting allergies, and it would be tremendous all through the summer. And when I came to this church, practitioner noticed that I was in a lot of discomfort, and the practitioner spoke to me and said, "Do you think anything that God made can make you suffer? Do you think anything that God made, that he would make anything that would harm another?" And it just made such perfect sense. God would never do such a thing. God is good. So why would he make something, or how possibly could he make something that would cause discomfort and runny nose and sneezing and all that stuff? And very soon after that, everything stopped. All the symptoms stopped, and I have never had another allergy symptom in quite a few years. I just am so very grateful to God, so grateful to Mrs. Eddy for giving us this way of life and for giving us all these truths that we can work with and we can learn. And I'm so very grateful to be a member of this church, and grateful for all the practitioner help that I've had all along, and just so happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Suzanne from Vermont, go ahead.
I wanted to thank you for the beautiful and timely readings tonight, and to say that I wanted to thank this church for the strong teachings. I feel like I grew up in Christian Science, but still found myself to be somewhat the servant of sin. And this church, the teachings here have allowed me to transition into feeling more that I'm a servant of righteousness, and feeling that Christian Science is not some theoretical teaching that one day I would wake up and understand somehow, but the teachings have taught me to make Christian Science practical, and amen to all the testifiers who help us understand how to use this wonderful religion or laws of the universe or whatever you want to call it, this way of life, Jesus' teachings, primitive Christianity. It is so exciting to finally live it and feel it, I would say. It's something that Mrs. Evans taught us. She taught in this church to feel Christian Science. Feel it in your heart. And that was a new concept for me. I feel like the teachings here have brought Christian Science to life and brought me to life. And just the readings tonight were just so wonderful, and just I felt I could really relate to them and were so timely. So thank you, and thanks to all the testifiers. Thank you.
Thank you. Florence from Georgia, go ahead.
Thank you so much for the readings on liberty tonight, something the whole of mankind is seeking. Thank God for his ever-present protection. I had to travel over the holiday, and because of the truth of ever-present harmony, which I have learned to accept as the reality through Christian Science, I was able to reassure myself with understanding that God was protecting everyone. On the road, I was able to keep my thought on God, and that to know that he is at the wheel of every other person's car. There were many trucks and so on, but I so appreciate the sense of calm that I felt through the travel back and forth, and for the harmonious interaction with everyone we met. Truly God rules, and when we make the truth of his omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and omniaction our starting point in everything in our lives, we surely get the great benefits. I am so grateful for everything I have learned through Christian Science, especially since I came to Plainfield. For God's grace, for Mrs. Eddy, for all the suffering to give this to the whole world. So grateful for all the testimonies and happy to be here tonight.
Thank you. Mary.
I have a couple of things to read from the bulletin board website, the first from Maryland. Much gratitude for the excellent July 2nd roundtable on the lesson topic God, learning to know God and to listen to him. And then Virginia, thank you for the idea in our June newsletter, quote, to squeeze just a few moments of the day into a planned study of our Constitution, that document which guarantees so many of our freedoms we often take as our standard. And then I have a testimony from Massachusetts. I'm very grateful that I found Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent a few weeks ago. I'm new to Christian Science, about 4 weeks, and feel myself blessed that I found this church before getting too involved with our local branch church. Last week, after hearing news that triggered shock and upset, I found I was having great difficulty anchoring thought on truth and finding a clear path to feeling peace and being receptive to divine love. So I called a Plainfield Church practitioner. It was so helpful and comforting. I heard a passage recently to bind up the brokenhearted. The practitioner did that so beautifully for me last night. She even instructed me to go to my computer and directed me to the 91st Psalm with the interpretation from Doris White Evans. She told me to take it to bed and read it very slowly and to get a feel for it. I followed the instruction. I love Mrs. Evans' interpretation, so loving, so sweet, gentle, and soft. I fell asleep and woke up twice during the night, and right away I reminded myself of the first lines of the psalm and rested in them and peacefully fell back asleep. I felt so loved and cared for and gently instructed on how to practice Christian Science last night. My need was abundantly met. Thankfully yours. In the lesson this week, in the responsive reading from Romans. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This statement has meant a great deal to me. One time in my life, I was having a lot of problems with my body, and the thought of presenting my body as a sacrifice to God struck me so, and I wondered what that would mean or how I would do that. And the practitioner here taught me in so many ways how we, as we give our whole selves to God, He takes care of everything. As we have talked about, we are not God, but God expresses Himself through us. And when we allow it, He expresses Himself through us as health, as joy, as strength, all the wonderful qualities that He is, we can be as well as we let Him express Himself through us, as we present ourselves a living sacrifice to Him, and as we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's not that we have two bodies, one material and one spiritual, there is just the one, and it is spiritual. And the more that we give it wholly to Him, the more we will find it to be so, and the less it will squeak and complain. To go along with that, there is hymn number 324, and the first verse says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hand and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. It is the most beautiful hymn, and it goes on. And it certainly instructed me and helped me to realize what it was to give my whole self to God. And I would suggest for anyone who needs help with that to memorize this hymn and to sing it often. It's a transformation. And as I learned to do this, those problems with my body stopped. They were healed. They were never true in the first place because God never said it. So I am so grateful to Mrs. Eddy for her textbook, for all that she has given us, and how it teaches us in so many ways how to be closer and more godlike. It's a wonderful way of life, as someone else mentioned tonight. I'm grateful for those wonderful readings on liberty, to hear all the testimonies and the beautiful music, and to be with you all tonight.
Thank you. Okay, to close our meeting tonight, Linda, can you please announce the last hymn?
Hymn number 382. What is thy birthright, man, child of the perfect one? What is thy father's plan for his beloved son? Hymn number 382.